There's a holy presence right now. And it's kind of odd, considering what I've got to talk about. But what we're talking about is holy. And it's so necessary. Have you ever seen the Nike commercial that says, "Just do it"? You know, they do this big thing and they just say, just do it. Well, Jesus has come to the part in the Sermon on the Mount where he deals with that attitude of just do it. We don't just do things in the kingdom of heaven. We look at our heart. What is the attitude and the motivation of our heart? And we are required to look at everything and not just do a just do it attitude. We don't just do anything in the kingdom, and that includes our giving. It includes giving of money. Jesus is at the point in the sermon where he gives several warnings about just doing it, or doing it with the wrong attitude, or not doing it at all. He talks about giving, which is one we'll deal with today. He talks about prayer. How do we approach prayer? He talks about fasting. He talks about the cares of life and how sometimes those things, by us just doing cares of life, override seeking first the kingdom of heaven. So before I really get into what I'm going to talk about today, I want us to stop just a second. And I want you to do a personal inventory on your own heart. In your own heart, how do you feel about giving? We just had the opportunity to give. Which one of those possibly fit you the best? Do you hate that part of the service? Dread it? Question it? Where's my money going? Or do you really look forward to it and say, you know, I'm getting to participate in the advancement of the kingdom and giving to the needy, which is called alms. Did you give any alms? Did you give anything for the needy? When was the last time you prayed? When you were all alone and no one knew you were praying but you. When was the last time you really prayed and sought the Father? How's your heart towards prayer? How's your heart towards fasting? When's the last time you fasted? Have you ever fasted? And while everyone else in the family was sitting around the table eating, you were off spending that time alone with Father. How's your heart concerning the cares of the world when something's going on in your life that's a little screwed up? Does that override seeking first the kingdom? Do you not feel like God will take care of you? I mean, if He cares, if a sparrow falls to the ground, or He can clothe a flower, do you not feel that He can take care of our little problems? So what's the condition of your heart on your inventory right now as we begin this part of the Sermon on the Mount? How do you feel about these issues? And I ask you, as we go through these over the next several weeks, to do a little check on yourself. Today's lesson concerns our financial giving into the kingdom. A large portion of the believer's income is designated for the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to be talking about that today. But I want you to realize and remember that as Jesus got to this part of chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, He didn't stop everything and say, "Hold it! Stop everything! Matthew chapter 6 verse 1 now. We're changing thoughts, we're changing theories, we're changing chapters." That's not what happened that day. He's flowing in the same mind thought that he was in the last verses of chapter 5, which is that the righteousness that we should have in His kingdom should surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees and of the law. In other words, what the law said to do, what we do is surpass that. We do more than that. His thought hasn't changed. He's still saying, here's how I want my kingdom to operate, and if you enter my kingdom, this is how you'll live. Now, we're in our lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, and we're calling our series Living in the Kingdom. Jesus has invited us into His kingdom, to live in it, to ascend, to climb, to come into a place, to ascend in our lifestyle, from the law to ascend into His kingdom. And today's lesson is called Kingdom Giving. It's our 13th lesson that we've had so far on this Sermon on the Mount. And we want to climb up a little bit today in our understanding of kingdom giving. We want to get a little higher, surpass what we understand, the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. So if you have your Bibles, turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. And if you'd like, go ahead and turn also to Deuteronomy. Now, it's going to take me about 30 minutes to get to Deuteronomy. But if you, I'll be in Matthew chapter 6 in just a second, right after I pray. So let me pray for us while you're finding those passages. Father, I pray that I do nothing or say nothing that will break the spirit of holiness that we've sensed already today. Lord, I pray that I say something that will minister to every heart and every life here. I pray, Lord, I'll be used as a vessel. And I pray, Lord, that our ears hear what the Spirit has to say. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Lord, the King of our kingdom. In His name I pray, amen. Amen. Well, let's read our passage that we're going to be looking at. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." And then that was King James Version and NIV Version, reading verses 2, 3, and 4. And I'll explain why I did that in just a minute. "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus began to poke around in the hearts of people concerning the attitude of their giving. It was interesting to me that he didn't stop here and do a teaching on tithes. He didn't tell them to turn in their Bibles to Deuteronomy and give them a teaching or from Malachi chapter 3. He didn't do that. Have you ever wondered why Jesus never taught tithing? Why Paul never taught tithing? Well, the reason is this. Is had he taught tithing, then he would have had to teach the same thing concerning the Old Testament, concerning anger, murder. He said, "You've heard in times past them say, thou shalt not kill, but I say." And He's changed that commandment. "You've heard in times past, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say." And He changed that commandment. And so He couldn't use tithing to command us to give when everything else is supposed to come from our hearts. You see, in the New Testament, giving is not a command. Giving is the attitude of the heart. If I need a command to make me give, I have a problem with my heart. And what Jesus is here saying is listen, look at your heart. Look at your heart. It's not a command. It's got to be from our hearts. Verse 1 says this, "Take heed that you do not your alms, and the NIV Bible here says acts of righteousness, and it's the same word is translated here, acts of righteousness, that is translated in verse 2 as giving to the needy. Be careful, take heed, that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Jesus gave a caution, a warning. Be careful. That's what the NIV Bible says. Be careful. King James, take heed. It's a warning. And it's translated in a way that causes us to look, take caution. Caution light, red light. Let's look at something. But what he was warning us about was not giving to illegitimate or false ministries. He's not warning about giving to ministries that we shouldn't be giving to. What he's warning about is the condition of our hearts. Jesus sees something far more important than our giving to an illegitimate ministry. He sees something much more dangerous than our giving our money to a false ministry. He sees the danger of our hearts towards giving. What's the attitude? He says, take heed. Be careful. Take a long look at your heart concerning how you feel about giving into the kingdom of heaven. How do you feel when that plate's passed? What's your heart saying? Is it having a hard time with it? Take heed. Be careful. I become aggravated when I'm watching television or listening to the radio and I begin hearing these ministries solicit money. And I want to warn people, don't give to that. That's not accurate. But Jesus didn't warn that. What Jesus warned about was the condition of our heart. You see, we can always find a reason not to give. I don't care what church you go to or where you attend, you can always find a reason not to give. You know, the preacher makes too much money. We spend too much money on camera equipment and television ministries and radio ministries. We spend too much money on our facility. I would rather see the money spent here. We don't spend enough there. We can always find something that we don't agree with. And I don't care what church you go to or where you attend, you're going to find something. You're going to find a reason not to give. Jesus says, take heed. Be careful. That's not the problem. The problem is the attitude of the heart. If we approach giving with a right attitude, and we approach giving the way that it should be, we'll receive rewards. But he says, if you have a wrong attitude towards this, you receive no rewards. Now, what I'm trying to relay to you and the point I'm making right here is my giving and the attitude of my heart toward my giving is directly related to my rewards. If I want rewards from Father, then it's going to be directly related to how my heart is towards giving. Verse 2 says this, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Now, hold it up there just a second. This literally happened. In Jerusalem, when they were having times of tithing and giving, they literally sounded trumpets. And people would come with their checks or with their giving. They didn't have checks in those days, but they would come with their giving. Finishing reading that verse. Sound the trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. Let me start over with that verse. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. Now, I want to work on this verse a little while and make it applicable to our lives. See, in the thinking of Jesus, giving was an automatic response of the Christ follower. When you give, not if you give. Believers give. Jesus had no problems talking about giving. He talked about it frequently. I hate talking about it. I hate listening to television and hearing other preachers talk about it. I hate the condemnation that is attached with it. I hate being lumped together with other preachers who just talk about money all the time. I hate it. But it is an act of righteousness. Jesus had no problems talking about it. In fact, he would stand at the offering plate as they came to give and watch how people gave. Do you remember the story about the widow's mite? Jesus stood right there watching how they gave. Some gave out of their abundance. They gave with a wrong heart. But he says she has given more than them all because her heart was right. He would watch how people gave. He would talk about giving all the time. I hate talking about it. And for you visitors, I promise, this will probably be the last time I talk about it all year. I won't say it will be, because I don't know where we're going to be headed exactly, but I promise you, I don't talk much about this. I hate talking about it. But it's an act of righteousness, and just as I need to talk about praise and teach about praising God and talk about prayer and teach about how we pray to God, and as just as much as I need to talk about fasting and teach about fasting, I've got to talk about this too. It's an act of righteousness. And there are right ways and wrong ways of doing it. So, I ask you to do something for me. You know, humor me today and say, he's just doing his job. Would you just say that back to me? He's just doing his job. Thank you. Then the New Testament teaches that we are to financially support in two areas or two avenues. In the kingdom of heaven, you and I are to give in two areas or two specific avenues. And what these two avenues are, one of them is concerning the advancement of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The advancement of that. And the other one that we're specifically told to give to is our almsgiving, or giving to the poor or giving to the needy. And there are two specific and distinct areas that we are to give to. Now, the advancement of the kingdom includes many things and varies from church to church. No two churches can be compared in this arena. For example, this church has a television ministry and a radio ministry. The church across the street does not. The church up the street does not, or down the street does not. But we do. So you cannot compare our giving in our financial situation with their giving in their financial situation. Their vision is not the same as our vision. And that's not saying their vision is wrong and ours is right. It's just saying we're here to do different things. We're here to reach this region with the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to do it one way or the other. So you can't compare one church with another church because it varies from church to church. Now, Jesus didn't have a television ministry. Our radio ministry. Did he? Yes, he did. He took 12 televisions and 12 radios And he programmed them and he sent them out into all that region to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Did he not? Was that expensive? You tell me, you take 12 guys with families and you support them for 3.5 years and you tell me how expensive that is. Where'd he get the money? You see, it was to advance the kingdom. People donated, people gave to advance the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're called to do, to advance the kingdom of heaven. And the expenses that we incur today are not like the expenses they had then, but it's just as vital today that we preach this kingdom of God to this region, just as Jesus taught it. Today, we have expenses incurred such as utility expenses. Sometimes it's $700 a month just to heat and cool this place. Telephones. We have insurance. He didn't have to pay insurance. We have all of this expense that we have to somehow finance and take care of so that we can advance the kingdom of heaven. And it's all incorporated into the thought here. He had his way of doing it, and in his society, we have our way of doing it in our society. There's also the importance of missions. And at LifeGate, we see the importance of both. We see the importance of giving to advance the kingdom of heaven, but we also see the importance of giving to the needy. We see these two avenues that the Bible teaches. And so to accommodate both of these areas, we encourage you, and some of you don't even know that we do it this way because I just don't talk about it. But what we do is we have what we call a general account, where everything that is not specifically designated to go to something special goes there. And from this general account, we use it to advance the kingdom. From that, we try to pay the television and the radio and the mission outreaches and those things that we try to do. But we also have what we call our missions account, which is really the alms account. And from that, we try to give to the needy. We try to make sure that people's needs are met, not only in our body. And it's specifically designated for that. So what I thought we would do today is take some time, because I don't talk about it much, and just share what we do here to advance the kingdom and to minister to the needy. In 1985, when I came to this city, I began to cast a vision to reach this region with the gospel of the kingdom. And I began to talk to those 20 people about television ministries and radio ministries and large outreaches. And you know what they said to me? Delbert, you're crazy. You're crazy. How are we going to do that? They don't call me crazy today. Today, at date, we have two radio television stations. Let me start over. Today, to date, we have two television stations broadcasting our program to this region. Every week, it's broadcast. Just the airtime alone, once a week, on those two stations, cost us $6,000 last year. That's to broadcast. That's not including the equipment. It's not including the breaking, the maintenance of equipment, and what it takes to pull that off. But that's not my dream for that ministry. We're not there yet. I want to see us on television every day, on both of those stations at least. I want to see us preaching an intense, condensed gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Teaching every day. Now, if we just did that every day on the two stations that we are now on, we go from $6,000 a year to $40,000 a year. And that's not going to happen unless we understand what we're doing and the giving. And unless our hearts are right, we're not going to pull it off. We have a daily radio spot, 1 minute, on the local radio station. 1 minute, around 7:24, 7:25 every day. 1 minute every day on that one station, $3,000. That's just one station, 1 minute. That's not my dream. And that's not the vision that I have for that ministry. I want to see us on every radio station from Somerville to Chattanooga North. I want to see us on every radio station from Dalton and Ringo over to Trenton. West, east, east and west. Now, we've gone then, if we were to do that, we've gone from $3,000 a year to $50,000 a year. We have these mail outs that we create. And we love to mail them out. Like last year, we sent out an Easter mail out to 5,000 homes in our region. 5,000 homes. Cost $1,500 to do that. But that's not where I want to go with that. And if we're really going to affect this region and advance the kingdom of God, it's going to take much more than that. What I would like to see is that twice a year, we get something in every home via mail, which is about 40,000 homes and 160,000 people at a cost of about $12,000. And of course, we want a first-rate facility. And that's not only this room. We want a first-rate facility for our children to go to, our nursery facility. We have excellent workers. We want a first-rate facility for our children's ministry to have and to grow. We want a first-rate facility for our student ministry. We want a first-rate look when people drive past here with the yard work. It says, man, place of excellence. And if we could do these things, if we could do those things that I mentioned to you, we can literally preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom to this region. And my point in saying all of that is that we're not giving simply for the sake of giving. We're not giving simply for the sake of just here. It's a part of what we give towards. But most of what we give for is going out. We're sending out our 12 disciples as Jesus did, if you can see it in that perspective. We're sending out the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. We're reaching souls. We're touching lives. Concerning the television ministry, we had a wedding here yesterday. And anytime I get around people, people tell me, I saw you on television. We saw your program on television. I was standing right back there. Doug did the wedding, and we were standing back there talking. And this lady walks up to us, and Doug introduces me to her. And she says, oh, yeah, I saw you on television. And she says, I was impressed. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, is we're just not on television. We're impressing people. I went to a funeral. And I walked in the funeral, and I was shaking hands with people. And the president of the bank said, Delbert, you're doing a great job with that radio spot. I listen to you every morning. My neighbor is a lawyer right here in town. He gives me money. He gives us money. He puts it in my mailbox. He drives by and drops a check in my mailbox so that radio ministry will be supported. He listens to it every morning. What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to say, folks, we're doing it. We're just not talking about doing it. We're doing it. We're not doing it the way I want to see it done. We're not doing it as well as it could be done. We're not doing it to the magnitude that one day we will do it, but we are doing it. We are advancing the kingdom of heaven. You know, we just did the last week, or week before last, when was it that we did the noble crematory? We had the service for them. Last Saturday week, yeah. Okay. I was in my office, and I was writing on this lesson when this happened. And the telephone rang, and I got several during the week, but this particular one I remember. I answered it, and it was a radio station out of Atlanta. And they wanted to do an interview on me on the telephone and asked me if I would do that. And I said, sure. So they were asking me, how was it that we were selected to have that meeting here? And I said, well, and I began to tell them the story that, you know, a bunch of preachers were together and praying, and I just felt to do something special, and I called Terry Williamson and asked Terry to pray about it. And Terry was given this fantastic song, and we put a video with it, and we began to reach out to this, because our region was so hurting because of this horrible thing that had gone on here. And we didn't know I was asking online to churches, what do I do here? How do I minister to my region here? Nobody knew, because nothing like this had ever happened before. And so we were just kind of out there, you know, we're going someplace that we had never been before. And so we put this video together, and we went to a meeting up there with the family. We gave away videos, we gave away CDs with the songs on it. And, you know, and we just touched those people with that video and with those songs, and it helped heal their hearts. And so when they get ready to do something, they asked one church that was right up there at it, and they said, no, we're not doing it. And they called us. I said, sure, we'll do it. And if you watched television, or if you were here last week, you saw what happened there. Every major television station, from Atlanta to Chattanooga, had us on it. No other church in this region was on it. What am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say we're doing it. We're doing something that no place else around here has a vision to do. And I'm not saying what they're doing is wrong or less important than what we're doing. It's not. They've got their plan and we've got ours. But we're pulling ours off. And little by little, and day by day, and month by month, and year by year, we get a little closer to the big picture. But none of that happens without giving. None of it. Let me talk a little while about the giving to the needy, what we call almsgiving. We here have a special account, as I've already mentioned, designated to go to the needy. It's called the missions account at the bank, but in actuality it's our alms account. And we use this account nearly every day. For example, this past Thursday, one of the elders called me about an individual, a lady that she was working with, and this particular person was sleeping in her car. And so we were able to help. I was writing this lesson, and the phone rang, and if you're around here much, you know that's not uncommon for people calling, asking for support and help. And this is a card that I got a phone call. I'll explain the phone call. I'll just read you the card first. It's from Countryside Hospice Care. It's right over here. And here's what she said as she sent back the card after we had helped them. Thank you so much for your kind donation. It will be very beneficial to our family in need. Thanks for the good work you do in our community. I think it's Armella Below, social worker. I was writing and phone rings and I pick it up, and this lady is on the other line, and she says who she was. It's this person, and she says we have a woman who has been diagnosed with lung cancer, and she's hospice, and she can't get any medication. She doesn't have any money to relieve her pain. Can you help? Sure. Well, help. You know, and I have a folder full of cards like this. People in our church have been helped. but not just people in our church. We are moving and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Last year, just in that one account, last year, January 1st, December the 31st, last year, in our missions account, we gave away $6,416 to needy. Just, we were able to do that. So Jesus says in Matthew 6:3, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus gives this crazy illustration, this absurd illustration about left hand, right hand thing. And he gives it to show us the importance of keeping what we do to ourselves and not tooting our own horns. And the importance of taking heed and looking at our hearts concerning giving. I'll never forget once when I was preaching. I had preached something. I don't remember what I'd preached. But anyway, a man came up after the service, and we were standing right over here, and he handed me a large check. And he said, "Here, I'm going to give this to the church." I said, "Okay. Thank you." It was a large check. I said, "Thank you very much." And he kept standing there. So I thanked him again. Thank you very much. And he kept standing there. And I said, "What does he want me to do? You know, get on my knees?" And I don't. But that's not what he wanted. I could just tell he wanted to say something. And he kept standing there, and I thanked him again. And finally he looked at me and he said, "Don't tell my wife that I gave that. I don't want my left hand to know what my right hand's doing." I don't think that's exactly what Jesus meant, but it's probably closer than we think. You see, Jesus said, "Make sure you keep it private." The way we do our giving to the needy here at LifeGate is as close to a left-hand, right-hand thing as I know how to do. We receive it, it's designated, it goes into that account. All of our monies are accumulated together. And then all of us together get to help people. And you don't know who you got to help. And I don't know who I got to help. I just know we got to help people. And let me tell you the neat thing here. He says that Father will reward you. It's a guaranteed reward. The amazing thing about this, and this fascinates me, is that without exception, and read my lips please, without exception, every person without exception that does this, every person that does this lives a blessed life. Now, see, I get to know, and I'll get to watch. And it's not just here at LifeGate, any person that makes certain that a portion of their income is given back to the needy and doesn't go around tooting horns about it is blessed. It's a guaranteed blessing. And this is exactly what Jesus said Father will do. He'll reward us. Obviously, we're not to sound the trumpet, and we're not to tell others about it, and we're not to make a big deal of it. We're not to keep a diary of who all we helped. We're just supposed to check our hearts out and see if we're supposed to help. But most of the time, we don't do it that way. Most of the time when we help someone, especially largely, we want others to know that we helped someone. I remember a time that someone in our church gave another person in our church a very nice automobile. It wasn't a run-down automobile. It was a very nice automobile. And then began tooting the horn about giving it. Was telling everyone. Came up to me, and I was very aware of it. Told me that they had given the car. I said, "That's so nice. That's so sweet of you." But in my heart, in my mind, I was saying, "Dog, I wished you hadn't had to blow your own trumpet. Dog, I wish you could have gotten the reward that Father had for you." rather than just getting the applause of people. Jesus said, don't do that. Do nice things, but keep it private. And if you will, God will reward you. So I want to close by talking about the amount to give. Now, you know, Jesus didn't teach tithing. Paul didn't teach tithing. None of the people in the New Testament taught tithing. So what do I teach? How do I teach it? Well, first of all, the amount you give, just start somewhere. Few of us came into the kingdom of heaven being able to give 10%. Most of us began doing something and then we gradually increased to that point. So begin doing something. And though Jesus didn't teach tithing per se, neither did he disagree with it. And I want you to really hear my heart on this. Because our righteousness is to what? Surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. But here's what he said about it. In Matthew 23:23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of men and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to do, to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now what he's saying here is you ought to at least tithe. These ought you to have done, but not to leave the other undone. And he's giving them a woe because that's all they did. All you do is you count out your tithe to the very penny, and you make sure you do that. But when it comes to doing a little bit more and mercy for people and having helping people, and you won't do it. Woe to you. We ought to at least tithe if our righteousness is to surpass. But I'm not expecting you to start tithing. And please don't hear me commanding it or condemning you, because that's not. I'm wanting you to look at your heart. What can you do? What is your heart telling you to do? Now, I'm going to run through this really fast. I knew I was going to be a little bit longer today than normal. But I want to show you how I operate in my giving. I'm going to blow my trumpet at the risk of losing my reward. But hopefully it'll help somebody. I really won't, because I'm not going to get that specific. I'm just going to show you what I see in the Scriptures. And if you need more information on this, if you need more information about what I'm about to tell you, then here's a tape series and a booklet that we've wrote on the subject. And they're in the back. Tithes, offerings, and alms, what do I do? So, more in here than I'm going to share with you right now, but at least I'll share with you something. In the Scriptures, it talks about different types of giving called tithes, plural, tithes. It's also called the whole tithe. We're going to read it in just a second in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. That's where you'll find that. So if you're taking some notes, just jot that down. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And what you'll read there is tithes in verse 8 and whole tithe in verse 10. Now, let's look at verse 8 here. Malachi 3, 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes. Does that have an S on it? What does that S mean? More than one. Tithes, plural, and offerings. Does offerings have an S on it? What does that mean? It's plural. There was more than one type of offering that they were to do, and there's also more than one type of tithe to do. Just as there was more than one type of offering, there's more than one type of tithe. And I began to see this years ago. God has given tithes. Now that's exciting, isn't it? And that's the one. The first tithe is the one that we're all familiar with. It's the one that I was reading about in Matthew 23:23 that Jesus says you ought to do. And then also it's referred to many times in the Bible, right down Nehemiah 13:12. It's referred to there as well. It's this type of tithe that we bring and we give to the house of God. And that's the one that most churches teach and condemn us with and make us try to make us give it. We don't want to do it, but they try to make it. Now that tithe was primarily to go to the upkeep of the temple or the synagogue, and it was to go to the ministries, the priest. That's what that was specifically to go to. Now, there's another time. Now, this one's, I've never heard anyone teach this but me. Does that mean I'm weird? Probably. But it's there in the Bible, and you got to deal with it, okay? Just like I had to deal with it in my heart. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy, and you should have, I hope you got your Bibles open there, Deuteronomy 14, and if you don't, write it down, 14, 23 through 26 is where this particular passage is reading. I'm just going to read two verses from it, verses 25 and 26. Now, this is the second type of a tithe that I call my tithe. And here it says in Deuteronomy 14, 25, then exchange your tithe for silver. And take the silver with you and go to the place of the Lord your God will choose. Your synagogue, your church, or your temple. Use the silver to buy what?
Whatever you like.
And the King James Bible says, for whatsoever your soul lusteth after. Cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. Now this is also a tithe. But it's my tithe. God says, I want you to give 10% in the old covenant, 10% to the temple. And I want you to give 10% to you. Because this was an agricultural people and they went on three vacations every year. And it was expensive to take a family to Jerusalem. And they went on three vacations every year to Jerusalem. And God says, I want to make sure you make it, so I want you to take this tithe and set it up so that you can spend it on whatever. Just have a big time on vacation. And when you come, you do whatever you want to with this money. This is your money. This is your mad money. Folks, listen. Has a man robbed God? How? In tithes. We may be as faithful as the sun rising with the first one, but if we're not doing the second one, we're still robbing God because we're not able to go on vacations and rest our family. We're not able to go on seminars or our trips or whatever that we need to go on. We're still not there because we're not where we need to be with our money. God says, I want you to tithe to you. Have some mad money. Have some fun money. Spend it on whatever you want. Is that the Bible? Okay. That was the second one. And there was also another tithe. Now this particular one is called the alms tithe. And this is what Jesus is basically referring to in this passage. In the Sermon on the Mount. And it's totally different from the other two. And this one was done every third year. It wasn't done on a weekly or a yearly basis. It was done every third year. So let's look at this one in Deuteronomy 14, 28. If you have your Bible right there, just drop on down to 28. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns so that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens and fatherless and the widows, now, who's this going to? Needy people. People in need. Who live in your towns may come, in your region, in your area, so they can come and eat and be satisfied. And so that the Lord your God, no, don't miss this part, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. There's a special blessing that's associated with this tithe. Just like Jesus said, you know, if you'll do this, Father will reward you. Is a reward with giving to the needy that's not associated with the other tithes. Now the way I work this, that tithe, that third year tithe, the alms tithe, into my giving. Here's how I do it. Here's how I looked at my heart and I looked at my heart. How can I do this and make sure I get it done? The way I do this is I receive a salary every week. I write the Lord's tithe. I give my tithe. I put that back. So when I have it go on vacation, it's there. I then write a separate check with a 1/3 tithe that I also put in to the alms every week. So it's like I'm giving it on a consistent basis rather than waiting for the third year just to do it one time. And that's how I've worked it into my giving. And you know, we call it tithes, but we really shouldn't. It's giving. In the New Testament, it's giving. The Bible talks about, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that too shall he also reap. Doesn't talk about tithing. Paul says, if you sow abundantly, you shall also reap abundantly. If you sow sparingly, you shall also reap sparingly. So it's never talked about as tithing in the New Testament, but it's always talked about giving. Doug read it earlier. You know, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It doesn't say tithing. But if our righteousness is to surpass, it gives us a target. Just like thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, at least we've got a target. Now the righteousness that we're supposed to have is further than that. We don't think it in our hearts. But at least we have a target. We have a starting point. We have a place. We have something that we can handle. That way I make certain, by that way that we give, that I make certain that I am giving to the needy. I make certain that I am giving to the advancement of the kingdom of heaven. And I make certain that I'm ready for vacation. And that way, when I give those alms, my right hand, my left hand doesn't know what my right hand is doing. God will reward us. So what have we learned in this lesson today? What have you heard? I hope you've heard that believers give. If you're a Christ follower, you give. When you give. I hope you've heard to be careful about the attitudes of your heart toward giving. I hope you heard, listen, I know I can always find something wrong if I look far enough, something I don't agree with, no matter what church I go to. But I hope you also heard, you know, but is that the right attitude? Is something beneficial happening where I do go? Are they really doing a vision? Are they really reaching a region? Are they really touching souls? Are they doing what Jesus did with His ministries? I hope you heard, take heed. Look. Be careful. Look at your own heart. Your attitude. That's what Jesus warned us here. Know that we don't give to bring glory to ourselves. We don't give to toot our horn, sound a trumpet, but we do give to bless people and bless God. And if we'll do that, God will reward us. Matthew 6:4, King James Bible says this. I like this particular version on this particular verse. It says, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. How? Openly. In other words, it's for this life. It's not for when you die. God has a reward for you right now. And He will do it without fail. I promise you. And if you can't give to the advancement of the kingdom, at least give something to the needy. Designate something to go to alms. Designate something that I want this to help hurting people, needy people. I promise you, it'll go there. They separate that. I'm not going to get into all that. That's taken care of. So in closing, I want to ask just a few questions. And I want you to look at your heart. How much would you give if no one but God knew you gave? If your wife didn't ask you, did you write the tithe check this week, would you give? If you were not trying to be an example for your children, would you give? If the preacher would never know, would you give? If it was just between you and God, what would your heart do? How's your heart when it comes to giving? That's kingdom giving. And that's living in the kingdom. And let's pray.